54 M26. Ursula is right to see me, my mind, as threatened by ominous encroaching madness. But Valis is a lucid postmortem, a deliberate and rational study of this issue, this battle, and the victory of the rational in me, expressed as Valis, Logos, or Christ. The one who sees precisely all this, the battle and the victory, and even the cause of the ominous issue or problem. A decade of intense suffering and trial. Is John Clute writing in the Post, "I came through it and emerged victorious, but just barely"? 54 M29. I guess my realization came last night, when after reading Pot and realizing that I did become psychotic. I then picked up Scanner and read here and there. The appalling horror of that book. To go into that from psychosis, that is, how terrible a fate awaited me. What saved me was my love for those people. Luckman, Ray Harris, Jerry Fabin, Dennis, and Donna, Kathy, which ties in with tears and the scene at the all-night gas station. Thinking back to when I wrote Pot, I felt so strongly and correctly at the time that when it came time in writing the book to have the theophany occur, i.e., for Glimmung to show himself, I had nothing to say, nothing to offer, because I knew nothing. Note: the Glimmung is a godlike alien from Plowman's Planet, a.k.a. Sirius V, in Galactic Pot Healer, 1969, one of Dick's more Jungian works. End note. Oh, and how I sensed this lack of knowledge. And now this is precisely what I do know, because now I have experienced it. 2374. In a way, I better depict the 374 theophany of Valis in DI than in Valis itself. In any case, if you superimpose the two novels, it is there. Precisely what I lacked when I wrote Pot, and knew I lacked as a human, as a writer. I had no ideas about the theophany at all, and yet by the time I wrote DI, it came easily, that which would not and could not come with Pot. Thus, in writing Pot, that exactly was where I reached the end, wore out and died as a writer, scraped the bottom of the barrel, and died creatively and spiritually. What misery that was! Paisley shawl, hoop of water, hoop of fire. How wretched it was, how futile. Strange that later, 1974, I experienced what I had yearned to know so that I could continue the logical, organic growth and forward development of my writing. That was where I wore out, trying to depict a theophany. And that is what I legitimately later on in the Valis trilogy could do. But oh, the years of suffering. And yet, if I became psychotic in writing Pot, if Pot shows signs of psychosis, and it does, it is not because I experienced and knew God, but precisely because I did not. And thus, the Valis books are the opposite, are sane, are grounded in experience and in reality, because by then I had experienced God. Hence, my creative life, not just my spiritual life, resumed, and with it my sanity. Thus, in a very real sense, my sanity depended on my experiencing God, because my creative life logically demanded it. And as Eugene said, my sanity depends on my writing. What I knew therein, when I tried to depict Glimmung, was my own finiteness. And this boundary and sense of boundary withered my soul and killed me. This is not just a creative crisis alone. It was a total crisis of Homo sapiens man, who knows. I did not know and began to die. And at last, in 74, I came back to life as a human because I then did know. And all the humor and wit and sheer inventiveness of Pot only makes the pain greater. For me, psychosis lay in not knowing God. Conversely, sanity came in knowing God. Thus, Valis made me acutely, suddenly, and for the first time, sane. 54 M32. This precisely is the psychosis that manifests itself in pot, the effort by a finite creature to suppose the divine without actual experience of the divine ends in disorder and incoherence, and, as I so realized last night, the truly desperate. Glimmung is absurd, and in fact a travesty, and I knew it at the time. Never was anyone ever so aware of the unbridgeable gap between the finite and the infinite. And this is it. This states it. The finite creature attempting to suppose the infinite and, in failing, becoming deranged. Thus I say now, my psychosis expressed in my writing did not enter it from outside the writing. It began in and with the writing itself. For it was in the writing that I reached my limit and could not go on. 54 M34. Here, perhaps, is the distinction between idios cosmos and koinos cosmos. The human mind cannot generate out of itself the infinite, in which case, finitum capax infiniti is not the proper formulation. The infinite must break in, and this lies within the power of the infinite self. The infinite must take the initiative. Thus, the Valis trilogy represents the inbreaking of the infinite into my life, my mind, my soul, and my writing. 54 M35. I am saying, then, several things. First, that the finite creature's hunger for the infinite is such that it will drive itself mad in its search. Second, I am saying that this is the cause of my psychosis that began to take over and lasted until 274. That third, I was psychotic until 274, as I suspected. But now I see why, and last, that the inbreaking of the infinite sobers the landscape. That is, the madness is abolished for what I construe as logical reasons. Drugs did not cause my psychosis. Nancy and Issa leaving did not. Normal schizophrenia did not. Anxiety and danger and suffering, in particular 71, did not. Poverty did not. It was generated by a hunger for the infinite, and b, the necessary impossibility of the finite creature discovering the infinite. It can only receive the inbreaking of the infinite. 54. M37. This is really what Valis is all about, thematically. Then I am saying that the condition normal to us generates a sort of normal madness that I have already and for some time studied. It has to do with a recirculating closed loop in which the mind simply monitors its own thoughts forever, and so only knows itself, never really knowing the truly other. Then infinite and truly other signify one and the same thing. The reason I could not imagine infinite deity is the reason I could not imagine the math color axis in place of our math music axis. All this, then, is ultimate epistemology, no more, no less. The meta-abstraction amounts to an authentic comprehension about something other than myself, and it may represent, for me, the first time what I have always called world was truly world at all rather than a dubious image emanating from my own psyche. In any case, the conception of Glimmung and the meta-abstraction are antitheses. They are mutually exclusive. The former is nothing more than that which I as finite thing can suppose. The latter is bona fide knowledge of that which is truly other. In becoming psychotic, I simply showed the prison-like nature of self-generated knowledge and what it is like for the inquisitive mind to discover that all it knows is itself over and over again. The realization that it is de facto in hell, my super theory that hell and the atomization of the lowest ring spatio-temporal world are one and the same. Conversely, the part-whole compatibility solution, that is, true cosmos, stands as remedy to this, for now the atom comprehends itself within a structure transcending it and thus effectively gets out of itself, abolishes its boundary, and this leads at once back to the meta-abstraction and what it accomplishes. So here we have my psychosis defined as the lethal damage done by the inquiring mind, by the fact that, and its awareness of the fact that, the second point is necessary, it knows only itself and seemingly is condemned to know only itself forever, itself, and nothing more. This is epistemological hell. Knowledge other than self-knowledge is de facto impossible. Here we see the culmination of years of epistemological doubts, doubts about the nature of, even the reality of, world. Suddenly, a radical shift occurs. It is not world that is dubitable and tenuous, but knowledge of world. The Cartesian premise has set in, and upon doing so, the mind realizes that it is doomed never to know world. This, then, may be what the BIP symbolizes, the prison of the utter atomization of the spatiotemporal world. At this point, the mind despairs, and psychosis sets in as the mind frantically seeks to formulate in the dark an image, a representation of the infinite, which is impossible, as Malebranche showed. The infinite, God, can only be known directly. There is no such thing as a representation of God, the infinite. For me, decades of epistemological activity have ended not only in failure, but in recognition of failure. And since epistemology is the very basis of my creative, spiritual, artistic, and professional life, then I am destroyed. But the flip side of this is the meta-abstraction, which not only confers sanity, but life itself, inasmuch as it reverses the death-dealing condition of ignorance. And here precisely is the ontological value assigned to the diametric categories of ignorance and gnosis in Gnosticism. 54 M40. That Ursula should regard my moment of failure as the moment of my greatest success shows me that it is possible for an intelligent, educated adult to enjoy the prison of atomization we are in. After all, if all you ever experience is yourself, you are consummately safe. And I think safety is the summum bonum for Ursula. And conversely, for her Valis, in which the prison of pot is successfully burst, is threatening and offensive and suggests to her madness or the imminent threat of madness. But it is pot that is either insane or threatened by the engulfing tide of insanity, the dismal ocean depicted in the novel itself, the tomb world of absolute decay. Ursula, then, erred twice, not once. But the errors logically interlock. If she saw pot as sane, she will see Valis as insane. 54 N15 Dio. Is Valis ever a complete success? In terms of articulating the mysteries revealed to me by 1, 274 to 275, and 2, the AI voice. And I was absolutely right to choose Gnosticism primarily and also Buddhism. And it's all predicated on my epistemological suspicions going back to the 50s, that somehow our world is fake. 54 N18 Glancing briefly over the tractates, I note two interesting things. 1. All the statements in it by the AI voice now at last make sense, that is, I understand them. 2. Moreover, they fit into one coherent system, and it is an extraordinarily important one. And also, 3. The system is a revealed one, on my own, employing both a priori reason and empirical observation. I never would have arrived at it. Therefore, 4. I think that this is Gnosticism, that is, not only the meta-abstraction, but also all that the AI voice has said. Without its statements on the basis of the meta-abstraction alone, I would never have understood. Therefore, 5. When I say the AI voice is myself, myself as perfected, realized self, outside of the BIP, what I am referring to is specifically and clearly and very movingly the Salvador Salvandus, which again tells me that this is indeed Gnosticism. So I am a spark of the Godhead that got captured by the Dark Kingdom, as I say in the Tractates. We did not fall because we sinned. Our error, which caused our fall, was an intellectual one. We took the phenomenal world, i.e., the 4D world, with its defective space and its spurious time, to be real. Salvation, then, initiated by the Salvador Salvandus, who outwits the wardens, the archons, and ventures here from the King of Lights, is to remember our true nature. And this messenger, this Salvador Salvandus, is of course who and what I saw and experienced as Valis. It is both my own unfallen self, and it is the Gnostic Christ. 54 N20. I am probably too far into Gnosticism to turn back. The single term mystagogue points indubitably to it, and then to Salvador Salvandus, which in turn fits in with my bootstrap view that is a revolutionary reappraisal of what cause and effect really signify, that being saved means remembering your true identity and true situation and true history. This at first seems to be Plato's anamnesis, but is really Gnostic in the widest sense, knowledge regarded as ontologically primary, both in terms of the fallen individual and, more, in terms of cosmic repair. And here indeed is the essence of Gnosticism, as H. Jonas says. Not that the Gnosis saves, but rather the ontological value and meaning of it, that it is absolutely primary as the real thing, second to nothing. Thus, in the final analysis, Gnosticism assigns the utmost priority to knowing and thus regards epistemology as equal to the divine, for the Gnostic epistemological inquiry is in itself, as a search, truly divine, and is the highest basis of and for spiritual life. And this is my view of epistemology, a fortiori. To me, nothing is more important. Note. According to Henri Bergson, the discourse of the mystic is interminable because what he wants to describe is ineffable. Deep readers of the exegesis will be tempted at times to arrest the flow by succumbing to the same principle that Dick himself gives into over and over, the impulse to declare, "This is it. This is the key to the exegesis." Well, here is my key. That inquiry, skeptical and speculative and interminable as the exegesis or life itself is, truly divine. E.D. End note. Thus, for me, Gnosticism is the inexorable goal because the premise of Gnosticism is the premise on which my mental life is grounded. So for me to say that Gnosticism is the solution is in fact for me to utter a tautology. But it is a meaningful one. It is tautological only in the sense that, upon close inspection, it turns out to be an analytical proposition and not a synthetic one. So for me, spiritual, mental life, Gnosticism, epistemology, rationality, in contrast to the irrational, and knowing are all one. And the search is as worthy as a goal. The search is the dynamic life of the mind. It amounts to a procession of mounting growth stages in personal evolution, and hence is essential to negentropy, to life itself. To know is to be, not I think, therefore I am, but I learn, therefore I am. There is a difference. Learning involves the absorption of negative entropy into one's self from the environment, negentropy expressed as information. And this, maybe, is the heart of the matter. I write, I learn, I evolve and grow, therefore I am. This, for me, is Gnosticism, hence this exegesis. It is the very dynamism of my life.